Thank you for joining me today. Yesterday, we continued our discussion on the justice of God by wrestling a little more with a question that often comes up in light of God's justice. This is a question God's people ask. If God is just, then why do I, as a Christian, suffer? And I gave you my rehearsed response to this yesterday. I said, God is just, and the Christian suffers, because suffering makes us more like Christ, Christ-likeness. This is the goal, the purpose, and the singular intention of being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be like our Lord, right? Well, then, we should embrace our suffering as a way to be more like the Master Jesus. As he suffered, so we will suffer. As he endured, faithful to God the Father through pain, isolation, and sorrow, so will we. Oh, how we want to be like Jesus. God being just in no way eliminates our suffering. The justice of God is no guarantee for the absence of suffering in the life of the believer. In fact, suffering in the life of the believer is what is guaranteed. And we were talking last time about this reality in the life of the Apostle Peter. We saw in John's Gospel in the 21st chapter how Jesus predicted that Peter would suffer and die for him. And history tells us that is exactly what happened as Peter was murdered for his faith in Christ by being crucified upside down sometime between AD 67 and 68. But before Peter died, he wrote two letters that are included in our Bibles as 1st and 2nd Peter. They're near the end of the New Testament after James and before 1st John. And we left off last time reading what Peter himself wrote concerning suffering, even suffering in death. I'm about to read to you again today from 1 Peter, but just before I do so, let me tell you that the Christians to whom Peter writes were living in the midst of a severe persecution. The Roman Emperor Nero blamed Christians for ferocious fires that swept through Rome, fires that Nero himself set, by the way. When the Romans began to resent how badly the fire devastated their capital city, they joined with their emperor in turning on the Christians. Well, this persecution meant the Christians had to run for their lives, and Peter writes to encourage and strengthen them in their suffering. You'll notice, for example, if you read chapter 1 of 1 Peter, in verse 1 he calls Christians, those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. The believers are scattered throughout this territory in order that they not be killed. So the context is the suffering Christian. And with that as valuable background, pertinent to our question, listen closely to the testimony of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. This is 1 Peter 4, verses 14 through 16. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer, or thief, or evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. Peter says that if anyone suffers as a Christian, that person is to glorify God. He says if you suffer as a Christian, you are blessed. He does make a distinction for suffering as an unrepentant sinner. He says, make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer, or thief, or evildoer, or troublesome meddler. In other words, Peter is speaking of a specific suffering. Not all people who suffer are blessed of God. Only Christians are. He continues in verse 16, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. Verse 14 is also very important to see Peter's perspective on the suffering Christian. He says, if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Reviled for the name of Christ describes persecution for being an ambassador for Christ in your community, in your neighborhood, in your business, in your school, in your family, in wherever you share the good news of the gospel with other people. Are you suffering because you share your faith with others and they revile you, they reject you, they put you down, and you end up feeling lonely and even isolated? Peter says, and he should know because Peter knew the Lord in the flesh. Peter followed Jesus and learned from him every day. Peter says, if this is what you are experiencing, you are blessed. And keep looking if you have your Bible at verse 14. or listen to this, Peter tells us why we are blessed. You are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Blessed does not really mean happy. It's deeper and broader than that. It's receiving God's approval signified by the Spirit of glory and of God resting on you. This describes a believer who has the presence of Almighty God resting on him or her. And the Holy Spirit rests on you so that you can overcome being reviled. The Apostle Paul captures what Peter is writing about perfectly over in 2 Corinthians 12 and verses 9 and 10. Paul and Peter write in concert with one another. Both of them suffered significantly for Christ, and the Holy Spirit has taken their letters and placed them within the pages of Scripture such that they echo each other's message. This is now 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. And Jesus has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Wow, how about that, my friends? 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. God is just, and the Christian suffers, because suffering makes us more like Christ. And when we suffer for Christ, what do we receive? According to Peter, we receive a blessing, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. And according to Paul, we receive the grace of Jesus Christ, which is perfected in our weakness. The power of Christ will dwell in us, and we will even be Christian people who are content. Yes, content when we are insulted, distressed, and when we are persecuted and face difficulties for the sake of Christ, we're content. Let's say it together with Paul. When we are weak, then we are strong. This is the truth about us as Christ's people. Christians within the sound of my voice today, we have to come to terms with something that is very true. If we want to be like Christ, which I certainly hope we do, then we have to be prepared to accept the suffering that comes with being like him. It is painfully ironic that the one person we most want to be like suffered, and yet we do not want to suffer. We want to accept Christ without any of the suffering that comes from being associates of the Savior. We want all the elation of following Christ without any of the humiliation. We want to house our perfect, healthy, and safe lives, all the while forgetting that Jesus said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That's Luke chapter 9, verse 58, and the Son of Man is Jesus Christ. I want to show you how the justice of God and suffering for Christ fit together. If you have your Bible there with you, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. If not, you can read this later on your own. I'm reading Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27. Then Jesus says to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man gain in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Suffering is clear in these words of Jesus. We suffer something of ourselves when we deny ourselves and when we take up our suffering, our crosses, to follow Christ. That's verse 24. In verse 25, the suffering continues. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Losing your life like Peter did and like Paul did, that's terrifying and involves a great deal of pain and suffering. And yet, what does it profit you if you refuse suffering by refusing to follow Christ and instead gain the whole world, but then lose your soul? That is, because you have rejected Christ, you spent an eternity separate from God in hell. And where is the justice of God in these verses? Listen again to verse 27. This is the last verse. Let me read it again. For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Quoting Psalm chapter 62 and verse 12, Jesus promises that he will return to the earth someday and he will repay every man according to his deeds. That's justice. Everything is made right in the end. Jesus will see to it. To every person who did what God wanted them to do, but suffered for it, goes eternal rewards. To every person who did not do what God wanted them to do, and therefore experienced little sincere suffering as a result, goes eternal judgment. God always does what is right, and at the judgment day, his justice will shine like the sun on a clear summer's day, or like the moon on a cloudless night. Every person will be repaid according to their deeds. You can count on it. But again, look at what precedes verse 27 and the justice of God. What precedes it? Suffering. God is just, and the Christian suffers because suffering makes us more like Christ. These two go together. They are not mutually exclusive. Jesus clearly teaches that you can both suffer and experience the justice of God. There is suffering now, but justice later. This message is clear in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27, and I really encourage you to reread this passage on your own. Just take out your Bible or call up the Bible online and read Matthew 16, verses 24 to 27. This is especially true if you are suffering now, or if you know of a believer who is really struggling, enduring pain and some heartache in their lives. Share this with them. In fact, you can share the entire broadcast with them if you go to the WEZE website and download the free podcast. Karen will be along in a moment to tell you how to do that. God is just, and the Christian suffers because suffering makes us more like Christ. And we're going to learn a lot more about this tomorrow. So why don't you invite a friend to join you and then come on right back here for more of God Is.